For the Psalms and the Proverbs. And we started the hardship a couple weeks ago before Christmas, and we're going to finish out the hardship today. I purposely left the hardship for the last ship of the year. Say, preacher, why did you leave it? Amen. We didn't want to talk about hardships. That's why. Amen. Because we normally have some. So praise God. So we say that for the last ship. Amen. Job chapter number 1. We gave the introduction last time as we talked about this area. And by God's grace, we have gotten through every ship just about on Wednesday, or I should say on Thursday. We did talk about the partnership, the kinship, and the friendship briefly. Amen. And we'll hope to finish up the last couple ships here this Thursday. Don't forget, no evening service tonight. So don't come back tonight looking for us. We won't be here, but we will be back on Thursday. And so you be safe on New Year's Eve. And by God's grace, we'll see you in the new year. Amen. All right. Job chapter number 1, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12. I'll read the first a few verses together by myself, and then I'll ask you to join in as we go down, talking about the hardship. Job chapter 1, everybody there say amen. Amen. Anybody not there? Praise the Lord. Verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil, meaning he stayed away from it. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one of his day and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered to burn offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And I want you to read verses 9, 10, and 11 with me. Here we go. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's the beginning of the challenge that Satan here is putting forth to God. You've blessed him. You've kind of hedged him about. You've kind of protected him. He's kind of like a mama's boy, but you let me have him, and I guarantee you he'll curse you to your face. Verse 12 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Of course, he's going to do his dead level best to put Job in the hardship.
Yes, sir, he is.
Talked about this. The book has the overriding theme of, will we serve God through tribulation and adversity, even though it may seem as if God is not blessing us or has forgotten about us? Will we serve through adversity or tribulation? In other words, will we serve through hardships? That's basically what is going on here. Oh, we need to receive a kudo from God. Job received no such kudo, as you know more about the story. Amen. And our Christianity is not shown by announcing that we are saved, but by showing that we are saved. Amen. Let me see that again. Our Christianity is not shown by announcing that we are saved, but by showing that we are saved, especially when the hardships come. That's when it really matters. Anybody can serve God when the going is good. Anybody can do that, amen. An unsaved person can be religious even when it's good. But what about when it goes bad?
Oh, yeah.
What about when the hardship set sails in your life? Amen. We're going to talk about this morning Job's walk before the hardship, Job's woes in the hardship, and then Job's worship despite the hardship. Father, work in our hearts. Everyone we know goes through hardships. You make it to rain on the just as well as the unjust, as well as the sunshine on the just as well as the unjust. Lord, we need to allow the hardship to draw us closer to you in our trust. Lord, it's when the going is bad is when we need to trust you the most. When the going is good, our trust level is not is really not needed as much because everything is going good and we don't need to rely upon you, although we should. We tend not to. But, oh God, when you allow the hardships to come and when Satan gets access to our being and our things, Lord, then it's a different story. And I do pray that as we are thrust into the hardship, that our lives would be that which would please you, would glorify you, and Lord, would thank you, even though we're in the midst of the hardship. Well, God, I pray that you might bless this morning. Help me to say the things that I need to say. Holy Spirit, bring forth the word of God in truth and in power that we might truly see that God is good in the hardship as well as in the good ship. And Lord, I pray that we might sail safely and securely, trusting in your almighty God, even when it seems like everything should be abandoned. May we abide in the hardship. Thank you for loving us. Lord, there's a man, woman, boy, or girl today present without the gospel of Jesus Christ, without the knowledge that if they died, they're going to heaven. I pray they might receive Christ today before it's everlasting too late. They might hang on to eternal truth that Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is for them, and they can be saved today by merely putting their faith and trust in Jesus, repenting of sin, and turning to the Savior. Help us, Lord, now to navigate through the hardships of life by holding on to the God of heaven. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. Bless now the message and song and lift us to the heavenlies. We may hear what we need to hear as we reverence you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson's going to sing for us.
Could just turn away from the pain, but you said these days would come and to just keep walking on. So I'll keep clinging to the one thing I'm sure of. Your presence is enough to meet every need, and I will find my strength when I place my faith in you, loving shepherd, my hope forever. Even though the darkness invades the light all around us, and the shadows make life so unclear, we should never fear, for God promised that he never leave us. Even now, Lord, I know you are here. And I don't have to wonder if you make a way before me. I can trust your word is ever true. You never said you keep us in the valley, but you'll always take us through. There is peace beyond all understanding, for my heart has found a resting place, a rock that is secure. Lord, your mercy will endure forever and ever. Jesus, our shelter. Even though the darkness invades the light all around us, and the shadows make life so unclear, we should never fear, for God promised that He never leave us. Even now, Lord, we know You are here, and we don't have to wonder if He'll make a way before us. We can trust God's word is ever true. He said He never keep us in the valley, but He always see us through every tear, through every hurt. God, You are here. You're our defender, mighty strong tower, and God always be. He'll be faithful to us. Even though the darkness invades the light all around us, and the shadows make life so unclear, we should never fear, for God promised that He would never leave us. Even now, Lord, I know You are here, and I don't have to wonder if You'll make a way before me. I can trust Your word is ever true. You never said You keep us in the valley, but You'll always take us. You never said You keep us in the valley, but You'll always take us through. Lord, You'll always see us through. Lord, You'll always take us through.
He takes us through. Praise God. I'm so glad He doesn't leave us or forsake us. We've got New Testament commentary to back that up. Amen. God is always going to be faithful and true to you and faithful and true to me. Amen. No matter what the hardships may look like, no matter what the hardships may be, God is always there. Amen. I gave the introduction to this a couple weeks back, and I don't care how you slice it, a hardship is a hardship. Amen. Let me give you the definition on hardship again. It is a thing or circumstance that causes ongoing or persistent suffering, difficulty, or pain. And we find it over here. It's the third one from the bottom. Amen. It's at the bottom. I was hoping y'all wouldn't see it too much. Amen. As we started the year off. But nonetheless, it's there. Try to put stuff at the top that's happy: courtship, censorship, lordship, worship, sonship, discipleship, fellowship. Kind of put hardship down at the bottom. But we had to come to it sooner or later. And let me give you the definition again. A thing or circumstance that causes ongoing or persistent suffering, difficulty, or pain. By the way, we still have to abide in the ship, even though it's a hardship. Amen. The only other recourse is to jump out of the ship into the sea and get bit by jaws, amen? I mean, y'all like sharks, amen? I don't, amen? And by the way, there are a lot of sharks in life, amen, that have a good, good bite. It's the further definition of hardship, it's a condition of life that's difficult to endure, bear, or handle. It's lacking necessities or comforts due to suffering. And I had to say this just to make sure that we quantified a hardship. There's a difference between a hardship and an inconvenience. Amen. An inconvenience is when your cable goes out. That's inconvenient. An inconvenience is one of your four TVs won't work. That's an inconvenience. Amen. An inconvenience is when one of your nails cracks. That's an inconvenience. When one of your 20 outfits gets stained. That's an inconvenience. When there's a run in your stocking or a hole in your sock. That's an inconvenience.
When your dishwasher breaks down, lo and behold, that's an inconvenience. Amen. When your microwave doesn't work, that is an inconvenience. That is not a necessity. If you've got an oven, amen, bake. Amen. I don't know how to bake. Fry. I don't know how to fry. Boil. I don't know how to boil. Starve. Amen. Go to Walmart or something. Amen. That's an inconvenience. That is not what we would call a hardship. Amen. Folks have these things going on. They say, well, I'm in a hardship. You know, I can't find anything to wear. You got clothes, don't you? Amen. And so when those things happen, that is considered an inconvenience. A hardship is cancer. A hardship is death. A hardship is a loss of job and you cannot get employed again. A hardship is a wayward child. A hardship is a divorce, and etc. Things like that that are beyond our control that make life unbearable or difficult at the least. Amen. That's a hardship. By the way, Job did not have the privilege of having the New Testament, where we are told as New Testament believers to expect tribulation. He didn't have that. In Job's day, wealth and prosperity meant God's favor. The lack of prosperity and the lack of wealth meant you were in sin. You didn't have God's favor. And so, lo and behold, when Job finds himself in poverty, everything is gone. Guess what people think? You must be in sin. No, he's in the hardship now. Amen. And in the hardship, it can be difficult to sail. The New Testament tells us that tribulation is to be expected. And tribulation, what is it? It's called affliction or anguish. It's to be burdened, persecuted, troubled, or pressured. That is tribulation. And we saw several things about tribulation and what to expect in this life. Number one, we said in the world we'll have hardships. What did Jesus say in John 16, 33? In the world ye shall have tribulation. Jesus just flat out told us. Number two, we saw this. We'll suffer in the hardship. 1 Thessalonians 3, 4 says, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation. Amen. And then we saw that Peter said this in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. So when it happens, don't say, why me? What you should be saying is, why not me? We want it to happen to our neighbor. But what's wrong with it happening to you? Well, I don't deserve it. You didn't deserve heaven either, but you got that, didn't you? You didn't deserve grace, but you got that. And then as soon as the hardship comes, well, I didn't sign up for the hardship. Amen. I'm sorry, all passengers aboard. Amen. Three, we saw this. Entering the kingdom will have many hardships. Acts 14, 22, it is said it like this. We must through much tribulation enter the kingdom. Not a little bit, but much tribulation. Amen. And we saw some other things about tribulation as well. Amen. Number four, our patience is improved by hardships. Romans 5, 3 says it this way. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work in patience. Amen. Number five, we saw this. We should be patient in the hardship. Romans 12, 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Amen. We saw number six, we should remain exceeding joyful in the hardship. 2 Corinthians 7, 4, I am filled with comfort. Paul says, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Number seven, we saw this. We can be comforted in the hardship. 2 Corinthians 1, 4 says it this way, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. So you don't need to be comfortless when tribulation comes, because God has promised to give you the comfort that you need. Amen. By the way, sometimes the comfort that we need is not the comfort we want. Amen. And we want a different type of comfort. Oftentimes we want a pity party. Feel sorry for me. Oh, it's okay, dear Deb. You poor baby. Yeah, God, so mean to you. Mean, oh God. Yeah, you don't deserve this. No, you deserve worse oftentimes. God in his grace doesn't give us what we deserve. Amen. And so we saw that. Then eight, we saw this. We have companions in the hardship. Revelation 1:9. John said it this way. I, John, who also am your, notice this, brother and companion in tribulation. Amen. If I've got companions in tribulation, I need to go to them and utilize them so that I can get some help. Amen. And get some encouragement. No one likes to go through tribulation and hardships alone. Amen. I assure you. And so with that said, we're coming face to face with our outline for Job, knowing the New Testament says to expect the hardship. Amen. And again, it's not an inconvenience. Job here is minding his own business, being a righteous child of God, not for gain, but for God and for his family's good. And guess what happens? The hardship pulls the board. Satan shows up and Satan says, see that guy down there? God says, yeah, did you check him out? Yeah. Well, and he's pretty good, isn't he? And you know what Job's response was? He's just serving you because you got him protected and you give him stuff. Amen. Ask ourselves a question. Do we serve God just because he gives us stuff? And when the stuff stops coming, we start going? Because that's pretty much the challenge given Satan's given to God. You cut off the stuff, and Job's going to cut out and curse you to your face. That's the challenge. But you look at Job's life, and that's how we often become passengers aboard the hardship. We're sailing alone, minding our own business, and being a righteous child of God. And then all of a sudden, storms hit. We find ourselves in the hardship. We don't know how it happened because everything was going good. And then all of a sudden, I went to the doctor, and he told me, I'm dying. All of a sudden, for no reason at all, it seems my child just left home and they're angry at the world. For no reason at all, I showed up at my job that I've been at for 30 years. They said, you're fired. For no reason at all, we seem to come upon this hardship. For no reason at all, now my wife is taken with a critical illness. For no reason at all, my husband just dies on me. For no reason at all, I find myself in this hardship. I'm minding my own business, and then they throw divorce at me. I'm minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I don't have a leg. I'm minding my own business now, and all of a sudden, my house just burns to the ground, and everything that I own and every memory included. And that's how the hardship normally comes upon us. We're minding our own business, doing what we think we ought to be doing for God, and the hardship comes, and we have to be a passenger. Notice Job's walk before the hardship. What kind of a man was Job? Job had, number one, reference toward the Father. Reverence toward the Father. Notice verse number one. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He stayed away from evil. And even though he's doing right, and even though he's reverencing God, he had to board the hardship. Friend, let me tell you something. Even though you and I do right, and we're trying to eschew evil and stay away from it and do the right thing, you and I can be boarded upon the hardship for no reason at all. And it seems like I'm doing right. I'm trying to stay away from evil, and I've got to be a passenger on the hardship. Job had a reverence toward the Father, but Job also had a responsibility towards his family. Notice verse number two. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Notice verse four. His sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. Verse five. And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent sanctify them, rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned. And I always find that interesting. It's the sons and the daughters, but he just said the sons may have sinned. The daughters, I guess, didn't do nothing wrong. Amen. It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Doesn't say that the daughters cursed God in their hearts. Why has it got to be the boys? They're hard-headed probably. I don't know. But it's the boys that he's praying about. It's the boys he's concerned about. It's the boys that have sinned. It's the boys that may have cursed God in their hearts. I'm sure some girls do it too. Ladies are like, nah, we don't do that. Yeah, we do. Amen. Thus did Job continually. Job had a responsibility toward his family. And even though he's being a responsible parent and interceding for his family, he finds himself aboard the hardship. Job, what are you doing wrong? Nothing. minding my own business, taking care of my family, being reverent toward God. It's good to walk with God before the hardship. However, we need to learn how to walk with God during the hardship. Job is walking with God before the hardship. He's fearing God. He's eschewing evil. He's praying for his family. He's reverent. He's responsible. He's doing what he ought to do. That's often when the hardships come. When we're doing our best to behave and be what God wants us to be. Say, preacher, why does it happen that way oftentimes? So we can learn to trust God a little bit more. You know, if God is blessing and we're at this level already, God says, let me turn up the heat and make them a little bit more trusting in me. Let me take away this or take away that and see if they're really going to trust me for who I am and what I am, or are they just trusting me for what I can do? Amen. Is it what I can do, or is it who I am? By the way, he is the great I am. I will be what I need to be. I will do what I need to do. I am that I am. He said, I am what I need to be. And I will be whatever I need to be for you. Oftentimes when many Christians jump ship, it's when the hardship comes. Rather than trusting God, they jump ship. They jump church. They jump tithing. They don't want to do what it takes. God tells them to forgive a wrong or to persevere in school or persevere at a task. The hardships come, and when the hardships come, the Christian begins to set sail. Why? You have to ask, is it real Christianity or is it just fabricated? Is it real Christianity? Hey, did not the disciples go through hardships? Every one of them was killed in a gruesome way with the exception of John. And they still stuck it out. What is it going to take for you to jump ship when it comes to a hardship? I'm not talking about the inconveniences. If you jump on the inconveniences, your Christianity ain't worth nothing. Amen? And you ought to be ashamed of yourself. If you jump ship because of an inconvenience, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. But when the hardships come, that's beyond your control. That's beyond your control. Job's walked before the hardship. He had a reverence toward the Father. He had a responsibility towards his family. And our text, Satan challenged. He says, is he serving you for naught or for nothing? Notice verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord. Satan basically is saying, I checked Job out. He said, doth Job fear God for naught? He says, does he not fear you and reverence you for no reason at all? He's basically saying, you blessed him. You blessed all that he had. You've got a hedge of protection about him. Notice verse 10. Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee. He said, take it all away. And I guarantee you, he'll curse you. You ever see how that happens with your children? You take away something that they enjoy, and they get mad at you. And you say, you better be glad you had it in the first place. Turn off that television. I gotta turn off the television. Turn off that video game. I gotta turn off the video game. You better be glad you had it in the first place. He says, does he fear you for naught? Take away what he has and then he curse you. Children, is that true? Oftentimes it is. I can't go outside. You had to shovel the snow. But it's not snowing. Pull some weeds. Amen. Do something. Amen. The challenge is set. Job's walking with God before the hardship, but now Job's woes in the hardship. The challenge is set. He's going to take away what he has. Ask yourself, what does God have to take away from you to be a hardship? I'm not talking about an inconvenience. I'm talking about a hardship. What does he have to take away for it to be a hardship? Hey, I've had some things taken away from me this year. Was it a hardship or an inconvenience? It's more of an inconvenience, but it can quickly turn into a hardship. Very, very quickly. Preacher, what is God doing? I believe God's testing me to see if I'm going to abide in the ship. We've had some things happen in this church that can be hardships. What is God doing? I believe he's testing us to see who's going to jump ship or who's going to abide in the ship. Who's going to keep the ship afloat? Who's going to help out in the ship? who's going to pick up their weight and do their due? Or are you going to jump ship like everybody else? I believe God allows things to happen in the local church to test our Christianity to see if it's real or is it fabricated. Are we really trusting God for who he is? Or are we just playing the game? Well, Job's woes and the hardship turn up. Verse number 11, put forth thine hand, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Verses 13 through 17, Job's financial assets were taken, all what he had there. Verse 13, it says, there was a day when the sons and daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they've slain the servants the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So everything that's there with the oxen is taking away, even the servants. Verse 16, while he's yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, burned up the sheep. And so evidently a lightning must have struck or something the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. So all the servants are taken there in this area as well, with the fire of God burning up the sheep there. And verse 17, while he's yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And so the camels are gone. Now, camels were very, very big commodities back in those days for travel and things of that nature. Verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house and fell upon the young men. And they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And so the children then are taken as well. Job's financial assets are taken, verses 13 through 17. All his financial wealth is gone in a moment. His family is taken in verses 18 and 19. All his family is gone in a moment. His house, all that he hath, gets taken away. The very ones he prayed for in verse number 3 or 5 and 6 over there, the very ones that he prayed for are taken away from there. They're gone now. And what did Job do to deserve the hardship? Not a thing. Oftentimes, you're not going to do anything to deserve a hardship, and it's going to come to you. It's going to come. So the question is, how then do you handle a hardship when everything gets taken? When the very ones you prayed for are taken, when your financial assets are taken, when your wealth is taken, when everything you have is taken, how do you handle the hardship? Well, not only do we see Job's walk before the hardship and Job's woes in the hardship, notice Job's worship despite the hardship. After all his finances and his family and all that he hath, it gets taken away. What did Job do when the hardship came? The same as you and I can do. Notice, first of all, verse 20, Job grieved. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Job grieved. Those are signs of mourning. Signs of grieving. He rent his mantle. He tore the mantle that he wore as a sign of grief and mourning. He shaved his head. Back in those days, long hair for a Jew was a very, very good sign of a vow that they were taking, or Nazarite vow, or something of that nature. And so they didn't cut their hair often as a tribute to Almighty God. And so he shaved his head in his grief. He rent his mantle in his grief. It's a sign of grieving. By the way, when you get put into hardship, God never said you can't grieve. He just said, don't gripe. He said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. It's okay to grieve. It's not okay to gripe. We seem to think it's okay to grieve and it's okay to gripe. No. Job didn't gripe, but he did grieve. Hey, folks, tears are real. We've got to realize we're emotional people. We're not robots. We're not a wind-up toy. We're not run by batteries. We run by emotion. We run by a feeling. We run by heart. And when tragedies happen and when hardships come, it's okay to grieve. We've got this idea Christians aren't supposed to grieve. Says who? Says who? You go to a funeral. Well, you're supposed to be happy. Yes, I am happy, but I can grieve that I'm not going to see my loved one on this side of heaven. It's okay. But we have this idea. Christians aren't supposed to grieve. No, it's okay to grieve. I don't know about you, but hey, if the Lord tarries his coming one of these days, I'm going to lose my mom or my dad. And I'm going to grieve. I may lose one of my sisters. Guess what? I'm going to grieve. I don't know what tomorrow brings. I may lose my wife or one of my children. I'm going to grieve. God may call Pastor White back to North Carolina to start a church. I'm going to grieve. Amen. I'm going to grieve. What am I saying? It's okay to grieve. What did Job do? His worship, despite the hardship, Job grieved. But then Job did something else that you and I can do. Job gave glory to God. Notice what it says down there, the rest of verse number 20. Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. We can still give God glory and worship him. Verse 21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What did he do? Job gave glory to God. We should still worship, and we can still worship. He fell down. He worshiped. He said, naked came I out. Naked shall I return. Amen. Hey, by the way, you know how much of this world's goods you going to take to your grave? None of it. None of it. That's why when it gets taken away, you shouldn't have a fit. That's why you shouldn't grab. You're not going to take it to your grave. Gregory, I know you love your Maserati, but you're not going to take it to your grave. They can bury you in it. They can shower you in it, but you're not taking it when you depart and go to heaven. Amen. Joshua, you're not going to take any of your electronic devices. The only book you're going to take is this one, the Word of God. Joshua, he loved to read. Yeah, you got to get that book. Boy, go get, turn off the lights and put the books down. Bedtime. And he's got this little thing Pastor and Mrs. White bought him with a little glasses where you can see at night with little lights on the side. He'll put that thing on, try to read at night. Boy, turn that light off too. Amen. What am I saying? He gave glory to God. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I came with nothing. I'm going to leave with nothing. I'm okay with that. I'm grieving. Yes, I'm grieving. They're all gone. It's all gone. Amen. But guess what? I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to glorify God. I can't get it back right now. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Amen. And so it's okay when the hardships come to grieve, but it's still okay to give God glory, and we should. Amen. Thank God for the time that I had it. Thank God for allowing me to use it. Thank God that it was in my possession for a time. Thank God that I had the child. Thank God that I had the person. Thank God that I have these memories to share. Amen. Because it can be gone. And what did he say? The Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. By the way, God gives us friends and he can take them away. God gives us family and he can take it away. God gives us finances and he can take it away. God gives us fun and he can take it away. Hey folks, I love playing basketball. I can't play basketball like I used to until I get all the way healed up. Every time I go to one of G2's practice, I'm sitting over on the sideline itching like, I can do that. I can do that. And then I get up, but not right now. I can't do it right now. Amen. Fun. Sometimes God's going to take it away. You can't do what you used to. You know, it's a tough thing, aging. You can't. In your mind, you think you can do it. And then you try to do it, and you find out, I can't do that. But I remember doing it. What am I saying? God can take away fun sometimes. And you can praise God for the times that you did. I had to bring up some of my old movies, Pastor White, show them. Now, I used to be able to play basketball. Look, that's me right there in high school. Look at that picture right there. My dad sent me all my old movies, amen. So I got it made in a DVD. They was reel to reel. How many of y'all know what reel to reel is, amen? That's back in the days. It's not DVD. It's not camera. It's reel to reel. So you got that reel and that reel, and the movie goes through this projector. And I said, no, we got to put that on DVD. So they got to see me in action, point guard for Joliet Central High School. And I tell you what, I was out there. They stole my ball, Tino, on one of these plays. And I went down and smacked that stuff in the stands like I was LeBron James. So now that's the way you do it when your ball gets stolen. Pop through that stuff. Stuff went way out there. Dad, that was you? Yeah, that's me. Could you play like that? Yeah. Can you still play like that? Yeah, no. In my mind, I can, though. What am I saying? He grieved. He gave God the glory. Amen. It can all be taken away. Finances, family, fun. It can all be taken away. But most importantly, Job did something that you and I need to make sure that we practice. Not only did he grieve and give God glory, he guarded his lips. Notice verse 22. And all this, what do you mean in all this? All that we just read down there in verses 6 through 19. And all that, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Now, we're still in chapter number 1. But in all this that happened so far, the most important thing was he guarded his lips. When you and I get in a hardship, that's the easiest time to charge God unfairly. When we get in the hardship, that's the easiest time to charge God foolishly and to lay something at God's blame that he has not the blame for. And all he's trying to do is increase our trust. Job has no idea of the wager that's going on, if you would, between Satan and God. He has no idea that he's being tested to see if he would curse God. And if he did charge God fairly, unfairly, would it have changed his status? No. Would it have bought his finances back? No. Would it have bought his family back? No. Would it have changed his fun? No, no, and no. It would not have changed his fun, his friends, his family, his finances. Anything wouldn't have changed. He would have just fell right into Satan's trap. Does Job serve God for naught? You've blessed him, that's why. But take away what he has and see what happens. Job guarded his lips. It won't help or change things when you and I charge God unfairly. It would only make us feel worse because we think God is unfair when he's not. We think God is not blessing when he is. We think God's not listening or looking or there when he is. All the while Satan is doing his best against Job, God is doing his best watching over Job. Remember, at this point, it was God that said, don't you touch him. You can take away what he has, but don't you touch him. Now, of course, God gives him access later on. But at this point in the hardship, you and I are often quick to cry foul and forgotten and forsaken and flagrant or unfair, God, because you didn't. God did exactly what he was supposed to do. Test Job. Do you love me because I gave you family and friends and fun and finances? Or do you love me for me? Do you love me just because I give you stuff? You know, in some marriages, that's true. The husband or the wife loves the other one just because of what they give them. They don't love them. They love what they can give them. That's not true love. Love is loving a person. And when you love a person, you do for that person, regardless of what they do for you. That's tough, but that's true love. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. What could we give God? Sin? We had a lot to give, didn't we? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he said, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. All we had to do is believe. What am I saying? Don't follow Israel's example. Numbers 11 and 1, I'll read you this verse. Don't turn there. Numbers 11 and 1 says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger was kindled. When you and I get put into hardship, it shows what we're made of. It really does. God already knows what we're made of. You know who God wants to show what you're made of? You and me. He wants you to see what you're made of. Do you curse God? Do you charge God unfair? Do you charge God foolishly? Or do you say, God, you mend this for my good. I'm in a hard place right now. I guess I'm going to have to trust you a little better. I'm in a hard place right now, Lord, and I guess I've got to trust what you're going to do with this situation because I can't figure this out. I don't see anything good coming out of this, Lord. I'm going to have to trust you so that you can show me what good is going to come out of this. I just lost all of my finances, God. My cattle are gone. My asses are gone. My camels are gone. My sheep are gone. God, I've got to trust you with this. My family's all gone, Lord. I've got to trust you with this. I don't have anything left. I've got to trust you with this. Folks, when the heart, that's when we have to trust. The most important thing here, and all this, verse 22, Job sin not, nor charge God foolishly. Because you and I are Christians, we're going to suffer. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We went over the verses previously. All the things that we're going to have tribulation in this life, it's going to happen. But I'm so glad that God still gives us companions. Job still had three friends. Now, they tried to convince him that he was a big sinner, but he still had three friends. He still had his wife. Now, his wife said, curse God and die, but he still had his wife. He still had some things. Don't follow Israel's example. It's not if we sail in the hardship, but it's when are we going to sail in the hardship. Every last one of us in here are going to get in a hardship at some time or another. Some have been in it already. Some are still sailing in it. Some are about to board into it. Some may be out for a time, but to return to it. It's a part of life, folks. It's what makes you and I trust God. What will we do when we get in the hardship? I hope we'll do as Job did. We can grieve. It's okay. I hope we'll give God the glory. I hope we will guard our lips. And I hope we'll go on living in Jesus' name in the hardship until God docks us and takes us out of that hardship and places us in another ship. But friend, the hardship's going to come again throughout life. Some have more hardships than others, but all of us will have hardship. I've been blessed my entire life. Sometimes I ask God, God, why did you bless me? My parents are still living. My grandmother and grandfather lived to be, they're very old. My grandmother and grandfather never divorced. My mother and father never divorced. My wife and I never divorced. And I ask God sometimes, God, why did you bless me? You saved me. You saved my mom. Why have you been so good to me? But you know, God could take it all away. He could take it all away. And I just need to give God the glory. And when God puts me in the hardship, and some of you have been in some of those ships that I just mentioned, and that's a hard place to be in. But God's a good God. And God's a faithful God. And God knows exactly what ship, hard or easy, you and I need to be in. And I may not have been in some of the ships that you've been in, but trust me, I've had my share of hardships as well. Why? We all do. We all do. And I just trust I can be as faithful as Job was. I hope I never experience what he experienced. I hope I never experience some of those things that maybe you have experienced. But God knows what hardship I need. And when it comes, you read the scriptures, Job is the only one that has had these things happen to him like that. Why? God knew what Job was capable of. And he knows what I'm capable of. And he knows what you're capable of. And he will allow a hardship to come that is best for you to be tested to see what you're going to do. And it's not for God to find out. It's for you to find out. And it's for you to trust God. I don't like hardships. I don't think I know of anybody that does. But I know the New Testament tells me to expect them. I know that God says it's going to come. But I'm so glad that he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm glad that he goes with me through the fire. I'm glad he gives us those testimonies like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they try to throw you in the fire, Jesus is right there. I'm glad that when it seems to be hardest, God is working his mightiest in us and sustaining us. We just have to abide in the ship and let God's grace and his mercy sustain us. If you're here today going through a hardship, it could be that God is testing you, but it also could be that God is trying to get you saved. It could be a possibility that you're really not saved and you need to be born again. And if that's the case, I beg you, trust Christ today for salvation. He's trying to prevent you from going to the worst place you'll ever see, and that's hell. And in his love, he wants to save you. And he could be pressing you with a hardship to save you. Folks, I don't know about you, but I got saved. At one of the hardest times in my life. An alcoholic, drinking, blacking out, turned to drugs, had a wife that loved me, had parents that loved me, grandmother, grandfather loved me. But for whatever the reason, the sin of alcohol had me. And at the worst time in my life, at the worst hardship, I say, preacher, why don't you just stop? It's not that easy. Just like doing drugs. It's not that easy. People with anger. It's not that easy. People that have a problem with forgiveness, it's just not that easy. Until you've been under the fist of sin, you just don't know how hard it really is to let it go. But at the hardest point in my life, God was trying to show me that I needed to be saved. I went to church February 3rd, 1991. Hardship in my life. Just got finished drinking that night. Didn't want to have anything to do with God or church. My wife convinced me to go. And in my hardship, God saved me. Say, preacher, did you stop drinking right away? Would to God I did. I didn't. But God allowed me to deal with that hardship. And he allowed me to be able to stop drinking. And folks, I don't think I would be alive right now. If God hadn't put me in that hardship, I don't think I'd be alive. I wouldn't have these beautiful children I have. Why? Sometimes God allows a hardship to come to bring you to himself, to show you you can't do it on your own. Maybe it's a divorce, maybe it's finances, maybe it's a death, maybe it's an illness, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol like me. I don't know what it is. But I know many people have been saved during a hardship, me included. Say, preacher, do you want to go back to that hardship? I never want to go back to it, but I thank God for it because it showed me I needed God and I needed Jesus' intervention. I don't know what your hardship is, but I know God allows us to go through hardships so we can trust him more and trust him better. Whatever your hardship is, it could be that he's just trying to get you saved. Let him speak to your heart today. If you're not saved, trust Christ. He loves you. His death, his burial, his resurrection was for you. And God showed himself to me February 3rd, 1991. And in the middle of my hardship, he saved me. And I stand before you today because of God's grace and God's goodness. Not anything that I did. All his glory. Yes. Have I had hardships since then? Oh, yeah.
Yes.
But I don't go through them alone. Why? I've got the God of heaven to help me out. And whatever your hardship is, he wants to help you too. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, thank you for saving me. Middle of one of my greatest hardships, Lord, fighting with alcohol, you saved me. Lord, you gave me some precious children, gave me a lovely wife. And I thank you for that. Those that are getting prepared for baptism, you go ahead and step out right now and get prepared for baptism. But for the rest of us, just contemplate on the hardships that you've had, the hardships that you're in, and the hardships that you may find yourself in. Prepare yourself now with a walk before God, before the hardship, so that when that hardship comes and you fall into those woes in the hardship, you can come out and worship just like Job in the hardship. And you may have to grieve, but make sure you give God glory. Make sure you guard your lips. Thank you, Lord. I don't know what hardships are here before me today, but I know there's many. Each of us had something. For some, an inconvenience may seem like a hardship. But Lord, whatever it is, help us to right the ship by the power of God and abide in the ship and trust you to work in our lives. Thank you for being a great God. Thank you for being an all-knowing Savior. Thank you for saving me in my hardship. And thank you that I saw Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Lord, I didn't get saved to get out of my hardship. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew my sin would take me there. But it just so happens that I was in a hardship. And I pray that you might show each one here Jesus Christ high and lifted up in their position. Some maybe are born again, just need to abide in the ship. And maybe others need to be born again before it's everlasting too late. Show that man, that woman, that boy or girl where they're at. With heads bowed and eyes closed and we're looking around, how many would say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I am concerned about it. Would you pray for me? My hardship is leading me to trust Christ a little bit more for salvation. And I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'm not positive I'm going to heaven. I want to go. Would you pray for me today? All across this room, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I've got a hardship. Pray for me. And Christian, this is for you. Things may be going well right now, or you may be in a hardship, or you may be coming out of a hardship or about to go in a hardship. Through it all, make sure you do what Job did. It's okay to grieve. Give God glory. Guard your lips and continue abiding in the ship, the hardship. I don't know who's going through that. I'm not going to ask for hands because so many people have hardships, but if God spoke in your heart during the invitation, you maybe need to come down forward and come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, help me to guard my lips. Help me to give you glory. Help me, if I need to grieve. But most of all, help me to abide in the ship, the hardship. Father, bless now this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's all stand to our feet. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Would you come? Maybe you need to lay your burdens at the altar. Maybe you need to improve your walk before the hardship comes and get along with God. And say, Lord, I want to have that walk like Job had. I want to eschew evil. I want to make sure I'm doing what I ought to do. My walk before the hardship comes, I want it to be right. Perhaps you've got some woes in the hardship. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, I've got some woes. Some things have been taken, my finances, my family, my friends, my fun. My fears, maybe my anxieties, getting the best of me. Help me to worship despite the hardship. My woes are great. Finances, family, friends, fun. Whatever it is, you let God speak to your heart. I don't know. But Job did not ask for this hardship. I'm sure you didn't ask for your hardship. I'm so glad we got a God that's going to deliver us through the hardship. I'm sure glad we've got a God that'll abide with us through the hardship. I'm so glad that God is watching and waiting to see how we're going to come out of the hardship. What we're going to say. Are we going to guard our lips? We're going to give God glory. We might have to grieve, but it's okay. Preacher, what can we do? Do what Job did. Grieve, give glory, guard your lips. Go on in Jesus' name. Job had a walk before the hardship. He had woes in the hardship, but he worshiped despite the hardship. You and I can do the same thing. It's not going to always be an easy road. I can always be fun and thrills. I'm not going to always be what you think it ought to be. And Job had no idea what God was doing. His friends thought he was in sin. His wife said, curse God and die. People around you may not have a clue what's going on, but God does. God does. God does. Sometimes we don't know what he's doing in our families, but God knows. We don't know what he's doing at our jobs. God knows. Sometimes we don't understand what he's doing with our finances, but God knows. Sometimes with our fun, God knows. Our friends, our focus, but God knows. It may be hard for a while, but God says, just give me the glory. Oh, you may have to grieve, but oh, don't charge me unfairly. Guard your lips. Father, thank you for the hardships you've given me in my life. Lord, I've not always been as thankful as I ought to be. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can look back and see each hardship and recognize that I may not have guarded my lips as closely as I should have. I may not have given you the glory that you deserved. I may have grieved more excessively than I should. But oh God, I thank you that you're merciful and that you're loving and that you're forgiving. Lord, at the end of the hardship, you gave Job back twice as much as he had before, because he's a perfect example of going through the fires and doing what he ought to do. Lord Jesus, you're the greatest example. You had to go through the hardship, and it wasn't your fault at all. You took our sin, and you allowed men to spit on you, to crucify you, plait a crown of thorns on your head, and to mock you, hang you on a cruel cross of shame, and to bear your cross. That was not your cross to bear, and it was ours. Lord, through it all, you despised the shame, and you sat down at the right hand. The death is complete, the burial is complete, the resurrection is complete. And as a result, we have glory. And so, Lord, being the greatest example, we thank you and ask you to work in our hearts, work in our midst. Guide, direct, and lead in our lives. We thank you and praise you for your goodness and your grace, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.